recording on. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the invitation. Good afternoon, folks. My name is Mika Kataikko. Actually, I was graduated quite a long time ago from the University of Technology in Lappeenranta, so east southern part of Finland. And funny though, my thesis is done on neural networks. I would be very, very interested to be working for IBM or any other company that is nowadays doing those multi-layer multi-hidden layer networks. At that time, I was doing my thesis. We had only one hidden layer in the neural network, so it wasn't deep learning. It was just learning. Funny though, after maybe 25 years now, the neural networks are back, and we are seeing that everywhere. We are seeing that with IBM, and we are seeing that with Google, and we are seeing that with Microsoft. I'm currently working for City of Jyväskylä. I'm there working as a project manager, and I have two responsible areas. The first one is about digitalization of city. There's lots of discussion about how cities are, to a certain extent, forerunners on digitalization, on public organizations, governmental organizations, and that's true, I would say. Especially here in Finland, there are lots of things ongoing in the digitalization of cities. I hesitate to use the term smart city, but since it was given to me, I had to put it on the title. The smartness of the city is a very, very sort of difficult term in general. I speak it a bit later on in the presentation, but typically I just say that the cities are digitalized or there is a digitalization process ongoing in the cities. Before that, I have worked 10 years for teleoperator actually, the Nordic big one. And then I also worked for public safety. Here in Mattilaniemi, actually, I was working for EADS/CAS/CDN/Airbus 6.5 years, doing public safety devices, security of them, and actually also device management. And then I've also ran 2 years innovation program here in Finland for cybersecurity. You may have heard about a program called INCO, Innovative Cities. So as part of that, I was the director of cybersecurity innovation program. And nowadays, I'm working for the city organization. Actually, I'm working for the city administration organization. We are doing business development there. For some of you may know that formerly there was a regional development company called UKES, which was dismantled in the beginning of this year. Actually, it was beginning of last year. And now the city is responsible for the business development in cooperation with the SMEs and large enterprises. And actually, that's what I'm also doing when we are talking about digitalization of the city. Quite often, it's about PPPP model, so public-private people partnership model, where we are developing the future cities. Today, I'm talking to you about ecosystems. I'm talking to you about how smart cities are developed in ecosystems. I'm talking about slightly about cybersecurity also. It's so close to my heart. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to interrupt me. I'm very happy to keep this sort of presentation as interactive as possible. So let's start. The content of the presentation is as follows. I'll start with the digitalization. As I said, the cities are currently in the process of digitalization. There is lots of things that are ongoing that are affecting the citizens, you as students, the public organizations, the companies, the third sector, everybody is getting their part on this digitalization topic. So I want to put sort of a short intro on digitalization, how I see it. Then I continue with a short course of ecosystems. I do like ecosystems as a general thing. I do like the ideology behind the ecosystem thinking, and I do a lot of, let's say, operationally, I'm very much involved currently in ecosystem work in the city organization. And then I end up the presentation with a big block of information about smart city development, where I then try to put everything on one basket, as we see it in the city of Jyväskylä when we are developing the city. Short course on digitalization, I have only one slide. I have said quite often that What we are seeing and what we are living nowadays is this so-called third generation of digitalization. Someone is saying that it's even fourth, but my thematics is about, I'm saying that it is third one. And how I argument that is that at the time I was still studying in Lappeenranta, it was quite much about IP networks and research. I remember we had those old gray Nokia, 220 terminals, and then we had also those beautiful sort of graphic computers where you could do 3D design and everything like that. But generally speaking, it was only about research. There wasn't any good intention or even initiative to really utilize internet everywhere. Anywhere. So what we did in the university, we were just using IP network. It was quite nice to discuss in IRC together with the colleague or fellow student in New York, real time. It was interesting. It was interesting to receive lots and lots of email. And what at that time it meant, you got maybe 10 emails per day. And furthermore, I remember also at the time I was doing my thesis, and we had AlphaDeck workstations at the university, and I remember I was doing the neural network training with four-dimensional real number tables. I don't remember the size of them, but then I got some very, very angry phone call from our CNC, and they said that you are not allowed to do that daytime, since I basically crashed the DEC Alpha station with the training loop that I implemented there. So at that time also, the computation power was far less than we are having nowadays in our computers. I mean, even in the PCs or even that laptop that I'm having there. So it was about research. It was about IP network. It was about existence of connection from point to point or in Ethernet here in Europe, in US, in Asia. It was about Funet quite a lot. What happened next in Finland was something that I hoped never seen to happen here in Finland. And it was about e-services. How I still see the effect of e-services is that when I, for example, go to municipality services in the commune or municipality of Muurame, where I'm living, every time I go there, even though there exists this nice e-service kind of implementation of the information that I need to put in the paper, I mean, fill in the I don't know, sheet or whatever it is, every time I put my name, my social security number, my address, my phone number. No one really thought about end-user processes when these e-services happened at 1990s or 1980s. It was just to have those paper sort of copies of the sort of sheets to be put on the internet as web pages. And that's what we are seeing nowadays still quite a lot, especially in the governmental operations. If you, there are also good sort of improved solutions. Like for example, if you do the taxation report, already you get quite a lot of information there when you start to do the report. But nevertheless, especially if you are accessing governmental services in municipality level, you see this e-services happening still all the time. And it has nothing to do with efficiency. It was just that we had to put those paper sheets on electric format. And why I'm saying that this should not have happened ever is that especially in the culture that we are, or let's say in the public organizations that we are having in Europe, and especially that public organizations that we are having here in Finland, the traditions, the culture is such that if you really want to change something, it takes time. And this extension of those paper sheets in web format led to the fact that far more difficult it is now to change the behavior of the people. You may have heard about social security reform happening currently in Finland, and you may have heard about lots of different toiputs. Lots of different sort of things that we try to sort of develop in terms of digitalization, but it doesn't happen. Since people are so stuck on what they have been doing for latest, I don't know, 50 decades. Oh, sorry, 5 decades, 50 years. And now we are in this third generation of the digitalization. And this third generation that we try to implement is about efficiency. It's about end-user processes. It's about security. It's putting everything in terms of the end user, in the, trying to approach my need instead of putting just bloody sheets on the web pages. And it doesn't happen easily. As I said, there is a strong sort of counter power existing, since we are so used to do things in this old way. Filling those sheets and having them filled in web pages and so on and so on. End users are the key. My need is the key. How I need to access information, how I need to access the services, how I am in the center of the service processes and service businesses. That's the key of digitalization. And that's where we are right now. That's why we talk so much about digitalization. We need to change our behavior. And that's the standing point to talk about smart cities, for example. Then about ecosystems, and this is a bit... Okay, I start with a very interesting picture. Someone may know from where this chart or this map is. It is Tourujoki that is going through the new smart city district Kangas. And why I wanted to put this picture on the table or on the beamer, it's about ecosystem. Ecosystems do exist in nature. In nature, in that kind of an environment where there is a river, this doesn't show. Okay. Where there is a river, and then there are different kind of. Animals, different kind of insects, different kind of green sort of plants and everything in place. Each and every of them, they are having a role to be part of that ecosystem. And now it works. And actually, this is what we are doing also in the business environments nowadays. So we are combining the different sort of assets and competencies that, for example, some companies are having. When they are joining their forces, they are developing something more. When we talk about ecosystems, one plus one should be more than two. And that is exactly how these nature ecosystems are working. So, So they operate, they coexist. And then basically there is a value. When ecosystems are joining their forces, when companies are joining their forces as part of ecosystem, it's all about value creation. This happens in nature all the time. And I just wanted to put this as a sort of, how should I say it, mind opener to you, that ecosystems is nothing new. It has been there for so long time. Ecosystem, it's all about value creation, and typically when we try to, especially when we, what I'm currently doing in the organization of City of Jyväskylä, we try to do ecosystems based on customer needs or customers' needs. Ecosystem creation starts from a need basis. It starts from something that we need to do together. There is a need to have some new services available. There is a need to have new value available. And then we start to address that. And what we do, we start from the individual organizations. We try to find out what are the organizations that might have something to do with this sort of need, this need that the customer is having. Those companies, those organizations that could possibly provide value. They are individual companies, and we need to address them individually. These ecosystems do develop per case, let's say it like that. And there, per ecosystem, there is always a different kind of combination of organizations and companies that are joining their forces to be this ecosystem. Then we start to support the ecosystem creation. And what city of US and what typically cities and these kind of governmental organizations are doing, we are facilitating this work. So we bring those entities together, and we kind of we push them to do cooperation. We and quite often actually also city of US is bringing this customer on the ecosystem creation. We do have quite much sort of international connections, and we hear from our international counterparts that there is, for example, a need to, what we are doing nowadays, for example, there is a need to develop e-health services in southern part of Germany, in the Länder of Baden-Württemberg. So what we have been doing as a city of Jyväskylä, we have been bringing this need to the table, and then we are gathering those companies to try to solve this need, to try to create value for the end customer. Then, if it ever happens that ecosystems becomes operational, then we need to agree on plenty of things. We need to agree on share of responsibilities. We need to agree on share of liabilities. We need to agree on common processes. We need to agree on shared sales processes, and so on and so on. When ecosystems start to be operational, you need to have common way of operation. And that's essential also. But this is something that you maybe should not put effort until you do see this real business opportunity, until you see a RFQ or customer proposal or something that emerges as money or value. The further we go, then, since we started from the customer need, there is a direct value added for the customer, obviously. And now comes the challenging part of ecosystem creation and the whole ecosystem theory. Especially in this era of digitalization, quite much of the value is immaterial value. Just for your information, I was in Stuttgart 2 weeks ago, and we discussed about Porsche Panamera, this new one, the newest Panamera. And I would like to ask you who would guess how much immaterial value currently nowadays exists in that car. But since I know that no one will answer, I'll answer by myself. 60% of the value of the car is immaterial. Think about that. 60% of the value of Porsche Panamera is software. So where that leads, actually, when we develop ecosystems, we are developing new things. We are totally innovative. We are building value from the things that doesn't exist. And when we are doing this thing here in city of Jyväskylä, in the city of 140,000 inhabitants, when we bring all those expenses, those investments together that those companies are doing in this ecosystem creation, we cannot put everything on the end user. We cannot in the smart city, we cannot put the invoice in the person that is living in the smart city. We have to do something else. Part of the ecosystem is for sure going to the end customer, since everything started from the end customer need. But then we need to see other opportunities. And typically what we are seeing is that we do exports. I'm not sure if you are aware of the person called Tekes Pekka, CDO. How come I don't remember his name? The CDO of Tekes, the Business Finland, Pekka Sivonen, yeah? You may have heard Pekka Sivonen's story about platform economy. And ecosystems are very much tied with platform economy. Since as part of the ecosystem creation, you typically do platforms. Okay. You create platforms, and those platforms are providing value. They are providing value for the end customers, but they are then obviously capable of providing value, for example, internationally. And the whole idea of platform economy is that there are companies and sort of ecosystems that are developing the new platforms in the whole globe environment. And those ones that are the first ones, they get the business. And those ones that do nothing, their business will be taken by those ones who are the first ones. So what we are doing as we are facilitating this ecosystem creation, obviously we are also aiming, together with the companies that we are having here in City of US Club, we are aiming to the situation where those companies are doing exports, when they are selling something so valuable that it is taken in the use, for example, in Brazil or United Emirates, Arab Emirates. And that's how the business nowadays, actually, especially in the IT environment, works. And that's why the ecosystem development is such an important thing. The problem then comes when we are having an individual ecosystem. It's okay. It's a complex thing since there will be agreements between the entities in the ecosystem. There can be even a situation that we are having two companies, both of them providing value to each other. So we need to be able to agree on that. But the whole idea of the ecosystem actually is that there is always ecosystems can provide value to other ecosystems, that can provide value to other ecosystems, and so on. And what that means actually is that quite often when we talk about ecosystems and value creation, we also talk about operation. There needs to be someone that takes an operational responsibility on the value that this ecosystem is providing to that ecosystem. And guess how complex that is from the contractual point of view. Ultimately, when these ecosystems are providing value to the end user, that's the most simple part, since the end user is buying that value with money. But until that happens, when we cooperate between these ecosystems, it's extremely complex thing. And more complex it is when the structure of the ecosystem changes, when we are having a new player in the ecosystem. How do we manage the agreement structure inside that ecosystem with this new change? And just recently I've been discussing with some companies that are having extremely interesting idea. Could we use actually blockchain as a technology to manage the contractual part of ecosystems? And I'm very fond of that idea. And I do really wish that there is a proposal in my hand currently where we would start to implement this kind of sort of agreement infrastructure based on blockchain. Since it gives us a bit more flexibility from the ecosystem management point of view. Again, just for your thought, think about that. Okay. Digitalization, ecosystems. Then we go on the topic, which is smart cities. Smart cities, as said, I don't like that term at all. But smart cities is well-known word in the whole world. For example, each November there is Smart City Expo arranged in Barcelona in Gran Fira. It is the biggest smart city expo in the world that is happening, and they are still talking about smart cities. So maybe we also need to talk about smart cities. I'll talk about smart cities and living, since there is a high how should I say it? When you say that city is smart, obviously you put quite a lot of expectations on the city. So how can my life be smart? What is needed to enable smartness in my living? As well, as I said, I talked to you about safety and security since it's so close to my heart, and then I put also some do's and don'ts on smart city development. So what you need to do or what you shouldn't do in the end of the presentation. According to Gardner, this is a bit old definition. They say that smart city is an urbanized area where multiple sectors cooperate. And that's actually one essential part of smart city development. It's not anymore city of Jyväskylä that is developing the city. It's not anymore the builder that is developing the facility or the house. Smartness comes from the cooperation. Smartness comes from the fact that, again, there are ecosystems that are providing value to each other. And there are individual organizations that are providing value to ecosystems. So it's about cooperation. Sustainable outcomes is one thing that is essential of smart city development. You must know about the concept One Planet Living. Hopefully you know what it means. As you know, every year in August, there is a time when we have consumed 1 year of our Earth, Mother Earth, from resource point of view. And we should do something for that. So sustainability is something that smart cities is all typically quite much about. Information sharing is the basis of the smart city development. Quite many public organizations are quite used to operating in these silos. And it doesn't work anymore. You need to share everything. You need to share information, you need to share practices, you need to share processes. Everything is shared. And then there is a technology system in place that enables the smart city. Whether it's IoT, whether it's building automation, whether it's, I don't know, blockchain or whatever. Actually, just for your information, the last year's Smart City Expo, November 2017, Dubai announced that it is the first city in the world. Actually, it is it's a city. It's the first city of the world that is utilizing blockchain in their operation. So it's about technological systems also. It is about technology. But I hesitate to say that, and I come back to that later on. Smartness of the city and smartness of the living is enabled by digitalization. When I'm living, well, I'm not living in a city, but let's have an sort of assumption that I, for example, be living in the smart city district of Kangas. Everything that enables me to better manage my living conditions is about hardware. It's about the building automation. It's about IoT. It's about data storages, and it's quite much physical environment where we are always when we talk about smart cities and smart city development. And this physical environment obviously is the basis for the digitalization. So you need to have networks, you need to have sensors, you need to have subscriptions, you need to have identities, you need to have accesses, you need to have everything in place in order to enable the smartness from physical point of view. And then it's about software. It's about implementation of added value based on this hardware part. Everything is based on the hardware. Then we add value by providing different kind of software elements on top of it. It's about applications. It's about services. More and more, it's about autonomy, or at least automation. We are expecting, the millennials are expecting more and more to be happening without themselves to be involved. Autonomy is important. The problem in smart city development, and this is also highly related to the ecosystem related discussion, is that if you look purely from standardization point of view, for example, IoT, standardization doesn't exist. As many as there are service providers, as many there are standards. And we Finns, we are so used to this sort of mobile community where everything is standardized. I mean, if it's Apple or Samsung, if it's Elisa or Telia or whatever, I mean, subscriber or technically the device, everything needs to be interoperable. In smart city development, nothing is. And that's challenge. That's challenge especially for me, since I'm sitting on top of the digitalization of those projects and programs that we are having in the city of US. Again, a bit old chart, but this is something that I just wanted to show you. Please put a note on those. There are a couple of numbers there, which actually tell you the annual growth rate, expected annual growth rate of IoT devices in the built environment. As I said, this is a bit old. We are talking about years 2015, 16, and 17. But still, I'm pretty sure that those are valid numbers. So annually, we double the number of the IoT endpoints in the smart city environment. And that's huge growth. It has to mean something for me as a citizen when I'm living there in the smart city district. Since what is the rationale to put those IoT endpoints there if it doesn't affect my living, if it doesn't provide value for me? Just a note that 2016, they lowered the number a bit, but it is still in the same level. So this is something that we need to pay attention for. There's a huge expectation on the digitalization in the city environment, and this has happened. We are talking about added value assets, so smartness is also a result, or let's say added value. Well, how should I say, which one is the result of another one? Smartness is enabling added value, yes. We just need to remember that this added value can be directed to different kind of end users or end organizations. Typically, smart cities are seen area for citizens only. So we quite often when we talk about smart cities, we talk about people who are living there, but that's not true. The smart cities more and more start to be kind of an hybrid environments. Which means that there are citizens, there are service providers. Actually, this is interesting. Service provider, when it's providing services, obviously it's providing value. But this service provider can be also target for value creation by someone else, another service provider. And this is we come back to this ecosystem theory. This is essential to remember. There are people that are working in smart city districts nowadays. They don't live there, but they come there 8 o'clock in the morning and they leave there 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they are part of the smart city ecosystem. Then there are those buildings. There are the builders, the companies that are building the infrastructure, the buildings. And then there are property owners that are very, very much interested on the value provided by the digital means of, for example, measuring the current state of a building. Students, especially here in the city of Jyväskylä, every third of a person that you see there in the street is a student. So we need to remember also students. They may not be citizens, but they are students anyways. Public entity, this is one thing that quite often is forgotten when we talk about smart cities. We put a lot of effort and we put a lot of emphasis on digitalization and providing new value added and everything. I mean, it's nice environment. But unfortunately, we forget that there are cases when shit hits the fan. We need to develop smart cities so that the fire brigades, policemen, rescue can still operate there. And if we put this topic a bit upside down, actually smart cities and digitalization can provide actually added value also for public entities. I have been recently discussing about locking systems. I've been discussing with the locking system providers, and I have a dream, and it's not even a dream, that, for example, fire brigade would have a super access to each building in smart city district of Kangas. And what it means is that when they enter the scene, for example, when there is a fire in the building, they enter the scene, and then they put their own digital token in the reader. Each and every door in that building is opened. And that can be done nowadays. So we can turn this problematic environment again to a bit different angle and rethink the whole process of living. And remember also those entities, those stakeholders that are there when things are going wrong. And then also third sector is more and more providing services for the people in the cities. So they need to be also involved in the smart city development, and they are also target for the added value creation. So as you see, yes, it is about citizens, but there are so many other stakeholders that are involved when we talk about smart city development. And those, all of those we need to remember when we talk about this. This is just an example to illustrate how I see that the smartness has been developing during the last, let's say, 5 or 10 years. Everything started from informative smartness. And let's have an example that there is a display unit in your home. That is saying that currently my home is consuming 2.4 kilowatt hours of energy. To a certain extent, this is smartness. I mean, nowadays at my home, since I'm living in rural area, I don't have this kind of environment in place. So it would be actually nice to see how much energy is consumed in my flat. Yeah. So where's the smartness of this solution? Well, it does exist to a certain extent. But wouldn't it be actually quite much nicer if you had an adaptive solution in place where it still says that, yeah, energy is consumed. You can turn off the heating and turn off the sauna, like we're doing here in Finland. And then the energy consumption is reduced. And that's adaptive smartness in the living. I'm able to change the parameters of my living condition. I'm able to manage, for example, the energy consumption. I'm able to manage the water consumption. I'm able to manage the heat levels in my flat. But that's not enough. And what I'm seeing nowadays is more and more this. It's predictive and autonomous smartness that we are aiming more and more. And what it means that the system tells you that I have reduced already your energy consumption based on your expectations. Just another example where we are nowadays. I'm pretty sure that quite many of you are having green card, so you are part of this S Group membership program. I'm always pondering Friday afternoon when I need to go to local store. This is Prisma. That why do I even need to go there? Since I'm pretty sure that they know exactly what I'm going to buy. So why should I even go there? They could bring all my belongings to my home and put them in the fridge, and I would be very happy. It's about profiling. It's about putting your expectations, it's about putting your sort of data in use. And that's what millennials, again, are more and more keen on doing. Now comes the most important part of the presentation. I have been saying twice already that I don't like this term smartness. And the reason is that quite often when you have a service provider, I've just invented a freaking new nice service in your smart city environment. It's really smart. I mean, when you take it in use, all the people, they like it a lot. Uh-huh. Do they? Have you tested? Do you know what kind of people are living in my environment, in my sort of smart city district? And this is exactly what we are seeing all the time, especially here in Finland. There are so many service providers that think that their product are smartest in the world. By the definition of the engineers and the product managers. And there is a small, small change that we need to put in place. One word. My word. Smartness of my living. Smartness is something that a person experiences. It's nothing to do with definition. It's about experience. It's hugely important that when we develop the new digital world, we have to keep in mind that there are people involved, people that should have the value, experience. And that's the reason why I don't want to talk about smart cities, since quite often they are defined as smart cities. What is the reason to put blockchain in Dubai? They want to be the first. They want to utilize the technology. It has nothing to do with people. I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating a bit this, but they don't care. They just want to have the reference to be the first in the world to implement blockchain. Is it experienced, this blockchain? Good question. So this is essential part when we talk about smart city development. You need to have the smart cities to be developed for the people, not for the course. What makes living secure and safe? Smart cities, as any system, if you don't take the security seriously when you start to develop them, you are screwed. I'm sorry to be a bit sort of, how should I say it, crude saying that. But this is true. You really need to start from bottom up. You really need to start to think how having digital means in place, how does it affect my digital safety and security. So if you don't think that at all, if you just put technologies in place, most likely you are quite soon in big trouble. And like in any business development, like in any business sort of environment nowadays, when you utilize digital sort of digital methods and processes and tools and so on and so on, if you don't consider cybersecurity seriously, most likely someone else is using your system. That's what we have also seen, for example, not necessarily in smart cities, but let's have a building automation case in place. You may have heard about Case Target in the United States. It was poorly executed sort of deployment of digital services in Superstore, where HVAC company had an access to the building system of this Target company, and someone just purely managed the access credentials. So we really need to consider this digital security when we talk about smart city development and smart city creation. And the problem, especially with the communities, is that, I mean, companies more and more, they are the forerunners, let's say, in the area of digital security, even though they are also late, but they at least think about security. But we, as a city of Jyväskylä, we come a bit behind. So then there needs to be these kind of people that I am, who are shouting out loud all the time that you need to consider this security very seriously. However, even though I'm talking about technology, security and safety is a state of mind. Especially when we are in a living environment. It should be necessity, actually, instead of something that you put on top of your living. It should be something that, like you are thinking, it doesn't look okay. Like you are thinking that, okay, winter is coming, okay, spring is coming, maybe I can turn the temperature a bit down in my thermostat. Or the lock in my door is broken, maybe I should fix it. Security should be more or less in the same level. I rely on the fact that everything is secure when I'm living in a smart city. And it really should be that transparent from the citizen or from the student or from the service provider point of view. They should not even need to care about security. It is something that is given to them. The biggest sort of improvement, like in anywhere currently in the area of digital security and cybersecurity, comes from the awareness raising or increased awareness. Unfortunately, people do still think about digital security as a something that is mumbo jumbo or as a ghost or I don't know what. People are afraid about that. They don't know exactly what it means. And the media, especially here in Finland, doesn't help at all. They are just talking about some freaking four-letter abbreviations that no one understands. So we should do things a bit differently, especially when we talk about smart city development, when we talk about citizens, students, people that are living there. Security has to be explained for those people. It's common sense. It's how does it affect my life? Instead of putting those abbreviations in place. This is exactly, actually this is the same process that each company should do also when they talk about security. They should put the security in the context of the company sort of value added creation. What does this security mean as part of my company's outcome? My products, my services. It's about practicalities. Instead of assumptions. So many bad decisions are done based on assumptions. We should really think where cybersecurity is needed at all. Quite often, especially in the business environment, people are buying cybersecurity in kilos. And they think that, okay, I have a nice firewall there, and then I have a nice sort of CM system there, I'm secure. And then just on the side of that firewall, there is a hole to access all corporate information from your intranet. So you really need to think about the practical needs for the security instead of listening again those service providers saying that this box you need to have. If you don't have that, you are screwed. That's what they are doing, still, unfortunately. And then, also we should, especially when we are living in a smart city environment, it's everything is about opportunities and improvement of your living conditions. It's not about risks or intimidation. Since when you use a wrong vocabulary to a person who doesn't know, you just don't get anywhere. So you really need to put cybersecurity also as a positive or necessary sort of how should I say it, in a necessary way for example for the citizens or for the people that are living there in the smart city. It should be positive. It's about opportunities. It's securing my life. It's adding value to my living conditions. It's exactly the same that I can lock my door. So I feel safe. My identity information is managed correctly. I'm safe. My credit card information is managed correctly. I'm safe. And like we have been talking about smartness of technology, the safety and security has to be quantified by experience too. I need to feel safe, regardless of the fact whether I'm there in the physical environment or digital environment. Interestingly, I don't know how many of you knew that, but last year in the Neste Rally 2017, we as a city organization, we arranged a mini seminar, which was called HX Rally. HX is an abbreviation that the military forces in Finland has put on the procurement of the next fighter in the air forces. The Hornet is the abbreviation is for the Hornet is HN, so the next one is HX. We had actually four or five fighter providers, so OEMs like they say that. Four or five were here in the city of Jyväskylä visiting us. So Lockheed Martin was here, Boeing was here, Dassault from France was here, and then Biosystems from UK was here. And then our companies presented their offerings for those big players. I was discussing the event actually took place on Friday, on the Rally Friday, and I was having dinner with Dassault, so the French company, on Thursday evening, or actually it wasn't dinner, we were maybe drinking a bit, something, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember that the discussion that I had with the head of industrial participation of Dassault, and he said that actually they are in this fighter business, they are currently looking very carefully what happens in smart cities. And then I asked why. And he answered to me that we have recently seen so many good, new, valuable things coming from those smart city projects. And we expect that there will be quite many things that are developed in smart cities that will be taken into use in our fighters. And I was a bit surprised when I heard that. And it took me a while. I had to really think what he just said. And then I understood he's right. Since the digitalization is developing very fiercely nowadays in the city environments, it's all about measuring. It's all about data. It's more and more about artificial intelligence. It's more and more about data analytics and so on and so on. So what is happening in smart city development obviously is kind of a pioneer environment to whatever business area that needs to be digitalized. Whether it's a fighter or car industry. Also, the same happens actually in car industry. Also, car manufacturers are nowadays looking very carefully what's happening in the smart city environments. They do have a specific reason for that, which is, you may have heard about the term smart mobility or mobility as a service, which is a very essential part of smart cities. But there is also another reason. Again, the technology, the processes, the services are developing so fiercely in smart city environments that car manufacturers think that they get value by following that development. So really we are the front runners of this development. And the thing here, if if we talk about cyber-physical environment also, when we talk about the security involved in the physical environment, also from that point of view, smart cities are forerunners, the pioneers in the digitalization. And like when we talk about smartness, or when we talk about those smart solutions, those measurement sort of systems and those applications and services that are providing value for the citizens and for the service providers, it's exactly the same for the security. The builder does not care if you don't put a pressure on him or her. You need to put a good argumentation. Why do I need to invest on security? What is the benefit that I get when I invest in security? Since they need to see the return of investments. They are very, very much, especially here in Finland, they are very, very much looking what's under the final line. So everything that is on top of what you just sort of standard building, whether it's a sort of measuring system, whether it's about building automation, whether it's about digital security or cybersecurity, they are very, very careful on implementing those, since they are cost to a certain extent. And now when we come back to this sort of ecosystem discussion, we cannot put that cost on those people that are living there in the smart cities, since they don't buy the flats anymore. If it's too expensive to live there, they don't buy the flats, they go somewhere else. A long text provided again by Gartner. But the most important thing that I think here is actually these couple of words here. And I already pointed out this sort of topic already earlier. When we talk about digitalization, when we talk about smart cities, when we talk about the development of the living environment, it's all about change in the culture. It's about all about changes in people's behavior. People need to see the value of the future. Why do we talk about smart cities? Since we expect that we are able to provide through this smart city environment, we are able to provide more value for the end users, for the people, for the citizens. And then when we are providing this value, obviously the companies and corporates that are involved, they have a possibility to do business there. I've been talking about development of ecosystems all the time. So when we develop smart cities, it's all about ecosystems. It's all about corporates having their roles in the development. There is a role for builder, there is a role for building owner, there is a role for digital platform provider, there is a role for IT system provider, there is a role for IoT system provider, and so on. Service provider. Each and every of them is having their role. And the thing here is that we need to see smart cities as a holistic topic. And the reason is that the end user, the citizen, is there in the end. Everything that we put on place when we talk about smart cities, okay, it can be hybrid environments, so there are also those service providers and those employees and so on. But in any case, everything that we do there has to be argumentable by the value for the end user. So ecosystems are essential to develop that value. The two most important questions when we nowadays develop or facilitate the creation of the ecosystems are there in the presentation. The easy one, all companies, when they come to this kind of cooperation, they think, okay, I get more. I get more coffee. Yeah. But I also get more business. I might get something from that company that is involved in the ecosystem. But if they are doing that, they are in a battle. They are in the wrong place. This as important question as expectations for the game is what the company is willing to give. Being part of ecosystem is painful, since you need to put investment in place to get more out of the ecosystem. We cannot have hangarounds in ecosystems. We just cannot. They are not providing value. They are just expecting to have value for themselves. And we've seen this actually happening in real time. I discussed about this HX event, and when we started to prepare this event, maybe half a year before this actual event took place, we had about 15 companies involved and two academic organizations, both US Glow University and then US Glow YAMC, University of Applied Science, was involved. And I remember there was one company that was involved in this discussion about this HX sort of seminar and event, and actually they weren't involved. They were there, but they were only listening. And I had, with the CEO of the company, I had a bit bitter discussion after this first workshop that we had, and I asked him, why were you here? And he answered, well, I was listening, what's going on here? And then I asked him, okay, fine. What do you think that you could provide to this ecosystem? And he said, I have not thought that at all. And that company is still nowadays part of this ecosystem. And it was valuable discussion I had with him. So he really started to think about this sort of value creation in the ecosystem. That it's not only that I get, I also need to give something. What we've seen in this ecosystem creation also is that if we bring along or bring together companies, we have to think about the timing of the return of investment. If the timing of the return of investment is inside your business, inside the time frame where you are predicting your business to happen, so you are having sort of agreements with your customers and you are expecting revenue to take place. So typically companies are able to predict maybe 1 year, 1.5 years in future their business sort of development. And if the return of investment in this ecosystem happens inside that time frame, they don't do cooperation. Because they are so afraid of losing their own business that they are already predicting. And what we've seen actually is that it should be so that this sort of return of investment should be in the middle of time frame from 1.5 years to 5 years. What it means from the company point of view is that you can put it in your order, not order backlog, but you can put it in your it's something that is so much in future that, okay, I think that it might be prospect. It's sort of a prospect for you. So you can quantify maybe 10% of the total value. But it is still new value to your business. It's still new revenue that you may have access to. And when it's such far away in the future, they are very eager to discuss about value creation. They are very eager to discuss about cooperation. As part of this HX project or preparation, we had three companies that were competing with each other. Three companies. And in the second workshop that we had, where we started to prepare this HX seminar, those three companies had a serious discussion. They split. In that discussion, they split the business, the future business. They decided that you take that part, I take this part, and you take that part. They would never do that if we were inside this sort of predictive business sort of life cycle. But since it is so far away, This HX acquisition will happen within 4 years, if I remember correctly, 2021. So it's far away. It's so far away that they are very eager to discuss about the opportunity side, they don't care about losing sort of their business. You see, basically, they are not even losing their business. They are talking about opportunity. You know? Another thing, I haven't been talking about you with about the another thematic thing that is related to the ecosystem, which is open ecosystems, and that's something that we as a public organization we have to speak about. And I would say that in any case, more and more we should talk about open ecosystems. I didn't discuss about sort of different ecosystem models that I have at least identified when we talk about ecosystem creation. There are research ecosystems, and then there are innovation ecosystems, and then there are business ecosystems, but then there are also technology ecosystems. And now I think that there is no one from IBM here. What you are having there on top of, I don't know, is it in fourth floor? That's a technology ecosystem, so it's IBM's ecosystem. It's IBM's technology, it's IBM's partners, and so on and so on. I don't want to do that much cooperation with IBM, and I haven't said that. So please don't quote me. I haven't said that. But I don't want to talk. I don't want to create ecosystem together with IBM, since they have their own business strategy to be in front or on top of that ecosystem. When we talk about pure ecosystem creation, it means that each and every company or organization that is part of that ecosystem is having an essential role in that ecosystem creation and in that ecosystem when it's operational. Purely developed or facilitated ecosystem does not need to have a leading company, does not need to have the front runner company. They can just do cooperation. They have their own share of responsibility and their expectations for the return of investment. Thus, vendor lock should be avoided. If you lock technology in place when you, for example, develop a building automation system, then you are married with that technology until the building is demolished, more or less. Open ecosystems is the target. And we as a public organization, obviously, we need to also speak for the openness. We cannot sort of speak for a single company. We need to serve all the companies equivalent. So that's also why our open ecosystem is such an important topic. And please don't, as I said, please don't quote me saying what I just said about IBM. But I've been discussing with them also about the same topic, and they agree to a certain extent. One thing also I haven't been discussing yet at all, and this is also one of those very, 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 very important parts that I hope that you carry with you when you leave this room. Everything is about life cycles. I hesitate to do projects nowadays, especially if they are publicly funded projects, since the problem with project is that it starts, but it ends. And when it ends, if there is nothing that is taking responsibility and following up the results, grabbing them and continuing the further development based on those, then it's a waste of money. Likewise, I've been discussing with Business Finland nowadays, formerly Tekes, about their innovation sort of policies, where they speak a lot about free innovation. You just need to innovate. You just need to do pilots. It's a waste of money. If those pilots and innovations, if they don't direct to a common target, common shared target, and the target is a life cycle. The target is something that happens in sequence until we reach the agreed common target, and then we continue to the next target. And that's life cycle management, and that's essential, especially now when we talk about built environment. In built environment, life cycles do exist, and they are strong there. The decisions that you do when you build a flat or when you build a house For example, if you don't prepare yourself with the digitalization, if you don't put enough cables and fibers and holes in the built environment, then you do retrofit. And that's expensive. So you need to remember life cycles, and you need to remember life cycles of the development. And what I mean with that is that when you develop a new product or service, you need to understand where you are with the development. Are you mature enough to go to the business? Sometimes it may even be so that you have developed a perfect product. Do you remember Nokia was launching this very interesting device? Well, you are so young, you may not remember that, but Nokia was doing a touch phone 2 or 3 years before Apple launched their first Apple iPhone. But it was about life cycle. People were not ready to start to use touch phones at that time. So what Nokia did, they closed the whole thing. They stopped to develop touch smartphones. And then came Apple with their iPod. What was this media device without phone? I don't remember. It was about the same. It was an iPod. It was about the same size than iPhone, but it didn't have phone. Yeah. And then came first Apple phone. And they were perfect with their market entry. People were so much involved and so much interested to start to use touch functionality. And that's why they are currently the world leading, or Samsung is, but they are still in the high two, and that's why Nokia was screwed. Everything is about timing. Everything is about life cycle understanding. Also, when you build a smart city. Likewise, you have to understand the life cycle of services. You may have a killer application or killer service that it solves every problem today, and tomorrow it's nothing. And there are so many products and services in Finland in use that should have been killed long, long time ago, since their service life cycle has expired long time ago. So you need to also understand that services do have life cycle. And you need to maybe at certain point of time rethink about your service, do a new development project, kill it and start another one, and so on and so on. As important as development and services, you have to understand the life cycle of the end users. End users, me as a citizen, I'm living in the middle of digital nightmare. I really don't know what to use. I really don't know what sort of digital services are valuable for me. I don't know what kind of technology exists. I don't know what could be provided me as in terms of technology or new services. So people do make decisions whether they use a digital service or whether they don't use it. The problem is that when a person makes a decision not to use, it's nearly impossible to have that person to rethink that decision. So you really need to concentrate also on the end users. What are their expectations for the technology? What are their expectations for the end user process and so on and so on? What are their expectations for the value? Now, tomorrow, after half a year, after a year, and so on and so on. Likewise, you have to understand the life cycle of security. The threatscape is changing every day. So you really need to be involved when you talk about security. It's also a life cycle topic. And you need to manage the life cycle of ecosystems, since they do change. Some companies leave ecosystem, some companies come in, and so on and so on. And then also their offerings and their products and services may change over a life cycle. So the importance of the life cycle combined with the smart city development and ecosystem creation is important. Mm-hmm. What? Turn off, turn on. When you talk about smartness, when you market it, you should market smartness and security and safety always as an opportunity and added value. Never use intimidation, never use risk-based analysis. It's always about something that you get more when you have that smart functionality in use, when you have it securely in use. Manage them. Smartness as added value, you can manage it as a business sort of opportunity, but security you have to always manage as a risk. If you don't manage it as a risk, again, you are screwed. Sorry, was I too fast? And then I guess this is my final slide. Yeah, maybe it is. One thing about digital development is that security and safety should always be inbuilt in the development lifecycle. So, and also when you talk about smartness, it should be essential part of smartness development of the smart solutions. So it cannot be seen as an additional investment, nor to be taken care of later on in the project. So security needs to be there from the roots. It needs to be there from the ground when you develop smartness. And that's also when you go back now to the ecosystem creation and ecosystem creation facilitation. You have to, all the participants in the ecosystem need to be to a certain extent in even level when we talk about security. They need to share the same target. They need to share the same experience, same expectations. They need to share the same responsibilities when we talk about security. Like in any IT system, if you are having 10 parts of the system that are highly secure, and then when you are having one that is not, the whole system is insecure. If you are having an ecosystem where you have roles and responsibilities for the companies, if 9 of them are doing their things properly and then one is not, then what you are doing is shit. Sorry. So it really is important that you remember this importance of the security when you develop the smartness of the cities, when you develop the ecosystems and the offerings that those ecosystems are then also selling or trying to sell. Ah, there is still one more. I come back to from where I started. There is no use for a service that does not provide value. One thing you need to remember. There is a topic that is called technology push. And this is a problem especially when we talk about IT and ICT. There are quite many things that people don't understand. They don't understand the value. They don't understand why do I need to use a digital service, for example. But they need to be educated before they start to use it. Or as part of the usage process, they need to be educated. They need to understand and they need to get that value. They need to see the value creation in the service development and in the service they are using. If they don't see that, they stop to use it. The thing is, and this is something that we as a city of US can do. We do have those 140,000 citizens here. So we can have them involved. We can have you involved when we develop new services in our smart city projects. And we really like to do that. Since even myself, I don't know everything. I know quite a lot, but I don't know everything. You know you know what you know what sort of needs you have. You know what sort of expectations you have for the future of living. You know what kind of services and products you would like to use. So we really would like you to be involved in the development of the future city of Jyväskylä. Now I rest my case. Any questions? I don't leave if I don't get two questions. This will be a very, very long afternoon. Two questions I need from you. It can be whatever. I'm warning you, it'll be a very long afternoon. At least one. Have you listened to me at all? Good, great.
On what basis are you evaluating all the solutions that are put into the ecosystem? As you said, there needs to be this
We don't evaluate. Actually, it is one of those roles that those ecosystems have by themselves, and it's essential that they are to a certain extent self-directive, should I say? They need to take responsibility on that, and that's one part of the creation of the proposal, creation of the offering, and that's where we as a city can facilitate, especially if there are gaps, so we can bring along new companies, we can even take companies from Helsinki or Tampere or somewhere else that fill those gaps. But those companies that are preparing the offering, they are responsible on the offering preparation. And they should see what sort of companies should be involved and what are the roles of those different companies that are part of the ecosystem and organizations that are part of the ecosystem. We don't do that. It's their job, since it is their offering. A very, very valid question. Thank you for that. And thank you for your interest, and thank you, I guess each and every of you are still here, so it's always nice to speak the whole time for the whole audience. Thank you for your time.